when they called out my name to go to the cage, big robots there, and they're opening like the entrance, and I come and I see like 18,000 people in the arena, lights, everything, the music. And this moment I was thinking, fuck this, man. I go back. the bell ring, and he's coming at me like a bull, bro. He's coming at me like a bull, you know? He wants to take my head off, like, and I hear him like, and I remember everything going slow motion. Bam, bam, and I only knew like left, right, low kick. You know, that was that was like my basic combo. He caught me with the left hook, and I fell down.
Yeah.
My lights went out for a millisecond. You know, he could finish me that fight, but I went up and I went away from the cage. I circled around and went back to the middle.
Yeah.
And in this moment,
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Tomorrow night, I'm gonna smash your boy, guys.
My balls are hot.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Is he fucking awesome?
Yes, welcome to a new episode of Buiten de Kooi, the MMA podcast, in the best MMA podcast of the Netherlands. Yeah, I just said it. We're doing an episode in English again because today we are co-hosted by with Erko June. He's going to join us for this episode. He's going to talk about himself. We're going to get to know him. But before we start, I want to do a shout out to our sponsors, Beast Mode. If you want to have the biceps Sammy has, check them with the code BDK10. You get a 10% discount. And for your fight gear, you should go to Nico Sports with the code WELCOMEBDK10. You get 10% discount. Yes, let's go, Erko. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here, guys.
Thank you, man. In this beautiful house in Belgium. Yeah, man.
Welcome to Belgium.
Yeah, we directly when we crossed the border from the Netherlands to Belgium, you know, we could feel the car already. You know, on the roads.
Yeah,
on the
bumpy road.
On the bumpy roads already. But yeah, thank you for taking your time to have this podcast with us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
Yeah, I actually found out about you when you started training at Combat Brothers, because of course Combat Brothers is a very known MMA gym in the Netherlands. And I started looking you up, your MMA record, and then I came across an article of your life. Yeah. I was like, whoa, this guy has a crazy story, man.
Yeah.
So I want to take us back, man. Take us back to your youth and everything, because you were born in Bosnia.
Yeah, that's right. I was born in Bosnia. I was there during the war. And when I was like 2 years old, two years and a half, still a baby, we had to get away from Bosnia during the war. So my parents took me, and we went to Germany for the first year. And after that, we ended up in Belgium. We ended up in Belgium because there was a friend here that from my parents that lived here, and he took us to the house. And we lived there like with five, six people in a tiny house. And that's where I grew up. The first, let's say, decade of my life was in that small house. And then eventually ended up living with my parents. And yeah. You know, all my life, actually, I was in Belgium.
You also have lived in the U.S.? But it was a short period, or?
No, actually, let's say when I started with my career,
yeah,
in the beginning, I was traveling a lot to the U.S., you know, because of the fitness expos, fitness events and everything. That's how I got introduced to the U.S., and I was in Los Angeles and Miami and many different places. But the main location was Belgium always.
Okay. Yeah, because for the people that don't know, Erko at the moment is an MMA fighter,
yeah.
But he has also been a bodybuilder, a model. I mean, I get intimidated by sitting here. You know, the guy is looking big next to us.
Now I'm small.
But can you take us back to the period that you said you came to Belgium? How did that all start? Like, how did you go to bodybuilding and then?
Well, let's say during the time when I was young in Belgium, I was always busy with sports in my life. You know, my father was also, let's say, he was a figure, especially in the Balkans, in Bosnia. They always push us to go do sports. And especially fight sports. So when I was young, I was doing taekwondo. That was like my first martial arts sport. I also tried football and playing all kinds of stuff, karate. Eventually ended up doing kickbox when I was 15, 16 years old. But also this was, a hard time in my life. Because in this time, there were a lot of problems at home with my parents. And, you know, in this is also an age where you get to, let's say, experiment with things outside, especially if you have bad friends, you know. And if your environment isn't that really how it should be, then you ended up doing bad things, you know. And with the bad people, let's say bad times, and kickboxing. So it was kind of mix of everything, mix of emotions, and also a mix of a lot of aggression, you know, a lot of aggression in me. And the only thing that I liked in this time was lose that aggression. And how did I do that? Outside, with partying and fighting with people. You know, only causing problems. And in this time, I was also doing kickboxing. This was my first gym in Antwerp. It was at Murat Direkci, Universal Gym. I don't know if you guys know him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like in the kickboxing world. He was also, let's say, known in this time. He was it was the same generation like Gago Drago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you know him for sure. I think they even fought together. Anyway, so I started doing kickboxing, and I ended up with a really bad injury. I had a problem with the nerve on my right leg, right below the knee, and my leg was paralyzed from knee till toe. Really, it was a serious injury. In this time, when you're young, you don't really you don't take it really serious. You know, you think, oh, it will go away, but I was really like paralyzed from knee till toe. And it was a really crazy time, because I had to go to a medical doctor, and he had like a 6 month treatment with electrical needles in my leg to get back the feeling.
Yeah.
And thank God, you know, alhamdulillah, I had back my feeling in my leg. And he told me, listen, you will never be able to use that leg anymore like before. No, he told me, you need to start with doing fitness to get that leg a little bit stronger. And that was the period where everything started with my career with fitness. You know, that was like, let's say, the start. You have to realize 16 years, that was around that time. Just had a really long treatment for my leg, had to start a lot of problems at home, had to start with fitness, you know, to get back that strength in my leg, the muscles. And when I was start doing fitness, I realized my body was changing really like fast, and I felt better. I felt stronger. You know, also in this age, you go around, girls look at you, people look at you like, whoa, this guy. You know, it's also in that time, fitness, like bodybuilding, it wasn't that popular. It started to getting popular, you know. Yeah. Now it's like the hype is passed away. Now we have MMA. So in this time, I started doing fitness and everything, and that's how I actually fell in love with that sport.
Yeah.
With the iron. The sound is still okay.
It's good. Yeah, it's just sound.
I tried to talk in the microphone.
It's good. It's perfect.
No, it's perfect. Okay.
So I started lifting weights, and eventually still going out, still bad friends, but using it actually in a bad way. I was getting better, bigger. I was hanging out with friends, going out. At this time, my parents were getting divorced, you know. So I went with my mother, and we went to a small place. That's where we started a new chapter in our life, in a very small apartment that was filled with rats and everything. Really bad time, honestly. And also still going out, my mother really sad, because that's not the life she wants for her son. I also had a little brother. I still have a little brother, but in this time he was staying at my father's place, and we wanted it with him. So a lot of problems at this young age, and trying to do something in your life, but you really don't know what. And luckily, thank God, because of Mehdi, I will also say his name in this podcast. I haven't heard of him like 5-6 years. I don't know how he is, where he is, but he's the guy that introduced me to Bill Richardson. And Bill Richardson, he's a like a old school gym. Let's say he was Mr. Universe, like a bodybuilding instructor. And I was a small gym in Borgerhout in Antwerp. But this gym was really hardcore. Really, guys. Like, it was only iron, and you had all these gangsters training there, big guys, bodybuilders, powerlifters. Like, it was insane. But in this time, I was thinking I'm the man, you know? So I told this guy, I will go there. I don't care, you know? This gym, who is this guy? I will show him how it is, you know? So I went over there, and he made me from this big ego. He
made you a little guy.
Everything, you know? He really killed me in that gym with training and everything. And I started getting, like, started learning discipline. And started to learn, oh, my aggression, my problems are getting solved in this gym. You know, I feel better. I go in that gym, I'm very angry because of things going on. But after the training, wow, I feel better. It's really crazy. So actually the sport and this man saved my life because he took me from the bad way. Yeah. Let's say from the streets, from going out, bad friends, you know, drugs, everything. Everything you can imagine. And he showed me, no, this is the way. Gym, training, put everything inside here. And luckily, thanks to him, I made that decision and I started seeing my mother happy, you know. I started seeing her. I don't go out. I don't have problems. I come home. Normally, I sleep at home. I don't sleep outside or I don't know, somewhere else at my friends. And then she realized, okay, my son, he has a sport now. Now we need to find him a job. He needs to do something with his life, you know, get more structure in his life. And she saw an article on the news, let's say on the papers, she saw an article that they were looking for a man in a gym behind the desk, recepsi medewerker. And she called the owner and she said, I have a son and... please, can you just talk with him? He's really good. But I think if he doesn't have a job, he will again end up in a bad way.
Yep.
And when I came home after the gym, she told me, listen, you have a meeting at 6 p.m. tomorrow at this place. I said, what? What's it? Yeah, it's you need to talk. It's for a job. And it's somewhere you like. It's a fitness. Okay, let's see. And I went over there, but I was, you know, leather jacket here. You know, this in this time, really, like, real... You know what I mean? And I ended up coming there and I talked with the man and the man, Aziz was his name. He's also from Morocco.
Aziz.
And Aziz gave me a chance in my life. Really. He gave me a chance in my life. He told me, okay, Erko, also you need to realize I don't have any, my school, I didn't finish my school. I was kicked out of school. I hit a teacher. Yeah, I was... fighting at schools. I was kicked out of 4 schools. Yeah.
You were going for records.
not really, like, but eventually it looked like that. Really, it was not a good time. And I can imagine there are still boys out there that have the same issues like me or had or something, but the sport saved me, you know? Putting my time in the gym, that's what saved me. So talking about Aziz, he gave a chance in my life and he told me, okay, Erko, you can start here, but you need to start giving away flyers. I was like, oh, come on, man, flyers. Eventually, I did it. So I was starting giving away flyers in the streets, you know, and I was getting humbled every day. At first at the gym, but then also at the job. Okay, I need to work here, you know, to make some money. The gym, I was getting killed. I was thinking I was the man, but oh, this is not how I should train. I learned to train the proper way, you know. And eventually, with time, Bill Richardson, he told me, listen, Erko, I feel like you can get ready for a contest, a bodybuilding contest. Okay, a new challenge. Okay, let's do that also. Let's combine it with my training, with my work. And that's how everything rolled.
Fell in place.
I started training, more discipline, also with the food and everything, and having my first contest, eventually winning that, also winning the next one. So I was 3 times bodybuilding champion in Belgium. I went to the Mr. Universe in America. So that's how I ended up in this world. And I got, people saw me. And then when I took that road to America, also I want to mention something. Let's have just a quick sip.
Yeah, bro, take your time, man. It's a crazy story, man.
Hey, if I'm talking too much, now you got me rolled. You know?
No, you should keep going, man. It's a crazy story, man. We want to hear everything.
Yeah. So also, people need to realize that the first contest I did, also everything in the beginning, I paid myself. Everything I did in my life, the first phase, you need to finance it yourself. So I heard about a contest in America. It was Mr. Universe. It was also very well known in that time. It was a hype. A lot of people, like, famous photographers, managers were there. And I wanted to do that contest. So I saved some money. I bought my own plane ticket. I went to the contest and I took second place, Mr. Universe. That's a worldwide competition. But this contest opened a lot of doors for me. I got emails from big photographers that wanted to work for me, then agencies. I was starting to be on magazines, first inside the magazines, then on covers. I made six or seven covers worldwide, magazines. That's also something, I'm proud of, because it's for the rest of your life. You know, okay, you was on the cover of Muscle Fitness. They're not small magazines. They're really big. Everybody everywhere in the world, you can buy it. So it's also accomplishment. From that on, I went doing competitions. I was sending hundreds of emails to a lot of companies in this time just to work together, you know. I was trying to get sponsors. Also, it was my age, 18, 19 years old, sending hundreds of emails. 99 said no, but one said yes. Okay, let's work, you know. You get nutrition for us. So I was the youngest athlete in Belgium, bodybuilder, that got a sponsor contract, and I was one of the first that was on the big stage at FIBO. FIBO?
Yeah.
You know, FIBO is like one of the, the meccas of fitness from the expos. Hundreds of thousands of people go there. And I was on the stage with the big guys, you know, in this time, 18, 19 years old. And also a big accomplishment. And from that on, it went better. I got sponsors. My job was getting better, from flyers to fitness, from fitness to personal trainer. And after 2-3 years, me and my mother, we could move to another apartment, normal apartment without rats. I took my mother, bought furniture. I started my life, you know. And from that on, everywhere I go, I always took my mother with me, you know. My brother also came to live with us. And I started to having a life, a normal life. But I never forgot to give my mother and my brother the normal life also they deserve, you know. So everything I started earning or doing, I involved them. I started going on vacation with my mother, with my brother. I take them with me. And it's something that gives me pleasure, you know. Also through all these years, also still now when I'm, making money or doing something, I involve them and gives me pleasure to give something back to the people I love, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, now we are here. It's a totally different life. I'm fighting and everything. But that's, you know, in life, you never know where you end up.
So what I was wondering is, you had a tough life. You picked up the pace and you went, you moved on to being a bodybuilder, getting your life on the right track. But I want to know, how did you comprehend with the news about your paralyzed leg? How did that hit your family? Because it was a tough moment, a hard life. How did that go?
It was a tough moment. But like I said before, I didn't really realize it, because in that age, you don't really think about it. I thought it will pass, it will go away. But now, you know, now we're older, you realize that could end up really bad. Yeah. I could really live my life with a paralyzed leg. So shout out to the doctor that saved my life, you know, that saved my leg. Really, I appreciate that. And my parents were really sad at this time. They were really like, look, our son, he was born normal, but he ended up like being with a paralyzed leg. And also, don't think that it's just because of a kick that I had at kickboxing. It was a kick, but eventually, okay, the nerve was damaged. But then I felt from a bike again, so damaged it again. So it was like a couple of times that leg was damaged, not just from kickboxing, because otherwise people will get scared from fighting. No, it was something that happened like 2-3 times. But yeah, man, it's also in one way it was a motivation when I realized it was getting better. Like I want to have this leg fully back to the right track, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's my strongest leg. My low kicks are one of my strongest weapons, you know, with that right leg. So sometimes you are lucky, but also in one way you are motivated to get it better. And now this leg is my strongest leg.
It's crazy because the doctor said you could probably never use it in the same way.
Exactly. He told me you will never be able to use it in the same way, or let's say fully extend it and use it. But now it's my strongest weapon. Mm. So
crazy. It's crazy. But
I always wonder when, like, because you said you had a lot of frustration growing up, and you grew up, you started hanging out with the wrong people, with the wrong friends. Like, I always wonder, because I know a lot of people who go into the wrong direction, then they start going into the good direction, but then they get like pulled back. You know, how did you deal with like saying goodbye to those friends and telling them I'm on a different mission now?
I think always having new challenges keeps me on the right track. That's something that keeps me on the right track. And in this way, I don't want to think about it. And I also don't have time for it. That's something my striking coach also mentioned me last time. He said, if you didn't have this sport, I don't think you would end up in jail, you know, or end up somewhere where you shouldn't belong. So every time I do something, I have a fight, or let's say before I had competitions, I set up a new goal. Okay, now this year I want to open a clothing store. That was also one of my, let's say, accomplishments in life. And I did that as well. So I focused on this. Okay, I want to do this. And I fully focused, because without fully focus, you can't do it. If you don't focus on something, on a goal, and you're doing something beside that, you know, other things, you will never accomplish it. You will never do it, you know. Yeah. So you always need to have, in my life, I was like that, a goal and a fully focus.
But is the problem for you, if you got too much time on your hands, you will get lured back into doing things you should rather not do. So I'm not saying bad things, but like...
For sure. Yeah. I agree. If I have nothing to do, that's why I have my trainings now. It keeps me busy. I don't know why, maybe from the past or something, but if I don't have this, I go crazy or I do crazy stuff.
Is it the thrill you need also? Because if you fight, you have the thrill of, okay, I'm training to knock someone out or to submitting someone. And when you don't have that, you're like, okay, but I need to find that adrenaline somewhere else.
You know, it's difficult to give an answer for that, like in words.
Yeah.
I think it's a feeling from inside, doing something that challenges myself, you know, and in one way, proving it to myself, but also to other people, but mostly to myself, you know. And I think that's a main thing that keeps me going and keeps me, let's say, fighting now, I think.
Yeah, so I also wanted to ask, because like you were sending those emails, 100 emails, just hoping one would respond, and you financed yourself to go to those competitions. So that shows like you believed in yourself and you really wanted to accomplish your goal. But I wonder, when did you know, like, I'm talented, this is going to be my future, I can make it in this bodybuilding?
I didn't really know it. Really, but it's a good question, actually, because like you said right now, how did you believe in yourself while other people didn't? And it's true, because you can't imagine how many people I had in life that were saying, oh, come on, man. Look this guy. What is he doing? You know, all my life, man. All my life, like from day one till now, before the fighting game, before the fitness industry, everything. It's always been. But in one way, it fuels me, you know, when people say, oh, come on. Why are you going to the U.S.? You from Belgium, you know, born in Bosnia. What you gonna do there? Do the contest? Who's gonna look at you? You know, but that was something like fuel for me. You will see, you know, you will see. And I went over there and did it, and I came back, and after 2 weeks, I had like another new, let's say, job to go back to the US for a company to be a face of, you know, like the face of a nutrition company. So I think it's fuel.
I was also wondering, were there moments like you were telling us it gave you fuel when people said, yeah, you won't make it, or why are you going there? Were there any moments that you were like, okay, maybe they're right and fuck it, I'll go back to my old life? Or
Every time. You know, there's a good example, actually. One coach he gave me, Ivan Hippolyte, he told me there's always a devil and the angel. Angel is here, the devil is here. The devil always talks to you. He says, like, you can't do it, you know. Oh, man, go back. You're wasting your time. But this one is saying, you can do it. You know, you need to go give 100%. You're ready. That's also with fighting, you know. They're always there, bro. But you need to try to ignore this one.
It's hard.
This one, yeah. But it's always there. It's always there.
So... You were told you cannot use that leg anymore. But at one point in your career, you decided, okay, I'm done bodybuilding. I'm done being a model, or at least in a lesser way. When was the moment you were like, okay, I still want to be a fighter and I'm going to... When did you make the switch?
The switch happened by accident. Really, it was really planned. It was nothing like I said, okay, at that age, I want to go for full-time fighting. No. Let's say in this time I had a clothing store. I had my own clothing line, fashion brand. I had a clothing store. This was in Antwerp in the city, and I did it with my brother. This was after the fitness career, let's say the fitness gym where I worked. I decided after that I want to have something my own, you know. So I opened the clothing store, and we run it like 3 years. It was good, was very okay, but to grow, we needed a lot of capital. We needed a lot of money to grow, especially the online shop. So we decided, no, let's close the doors. We closed the doors. In one way, we were feeling sad because it's your own business. You know how it is. You grow something, you give all your time, energy. But 2 weeks later, I got a message from Roberto Soldic from Germany, UFD gym. Düsseldorf, he told me like, yeah, Erko, you want to come here? We have a media session with German news, and they want to do like a training, and you can give me strength training, conditioning, you know, a little bit promo, because he's also from Bosnia. And let's say we Balkan people, we always support each other, you know, wherever you are, like
it should
support,
be.
You know what I mean? So I told him, okay, I will come there. It was 2 hour drive, and I went over there. And it was a German, German news. And so we needed to talk German. And my German was, I had no German, nothing at all, you know, a little bit. But it was really funny. Eventually, we were there, we did it. And he told me after that, yeah, Erko, if you want, you can come here, train now and then, you know, come and try it, MMA, you know, maybe you will like it. And I told him as a joke, we will see, man. I will come, we will see. 1 week later, I went over there, had my first training. It was fucked up, man. Fucked up. I was dead, you know. I was really dead. Also, don't forget, like, lifting weights and bodybuilding, it's no condition sport, you know. So only muscles, and it's totally different sport. I was dead, and he had a fight coming up for KSW, was for the belt. And he told me, he asked me, you want to come to the event? I said, yeah, I want to come there. I never been to a real MMA big event. I was in Antwerp. That was a small one. But so I went over there, front row, front of the cage. And before his fight, there were two heavyweights fighting, Polish guys. And really, guys, I'm really serious. It was really like this. I'm not lying. And was, and I told the my friend, who's now my manager, Ivan, I told him, these guys, what the fuck, man? I can beat these two guys. You know? Really, it was like this. What is this? I will beat these two guys. And also, don't forget, I didn't train MMA at all. Nothing. So I had a little bit kickbox background from before, taekwondo. But, and he was like, oh, really? Okay, I will ask the owner, Martin, from KSW. I was thinking he was joking. A week later, I get a message. Erko, they want to give you a fight. Really, like this. They saw your page. You know, I had a big social media page. When you have a big social media page, you have numbers on the page. Sad but true, in this life, you
a lot of doors. Options. Yeah,
a lot of doors are open. You know, and I knew this. I knew this when I was young. I knew I need to build my social media. I need to do it for whatever I'm doing in my life in the future. I'm selling socks, my own brand, or let's say I open a fruit shop. If I have a name, if I have a following, this will help me. You know, so I knew it in the past, but I didn't know it will be for fighting. You know,
yeah.
So in one way, I saw the event. I was amazed by the event, and Roberto won that night the belt. It was a crazy fight, and I really had something in me, in myself, like I want to be here one time in the cage. You know, in front of it was like 20,000 people. 20,000 people. Polish people are crazy. So a week later, I get a message from Ivan. He tells me, yeah, they want to give you a fight. I was like, oh, really? I was like, when? The next year? No, 3 months.
So you had 3 months time to train. Bro.
3 months, 3-4 months was it. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. So I decided, okay, I want to do this. You know, another challenge in my life. Also, in this time, maybe it's good to mention, but it was also a difficult time. So we all in life, we have difficult periods every time, you know. Sometimes someone passes away from your family, divorce from the parents, or you lose your job, you know. In this time, I was the mother of my child. We had problems. We also separated. Also difficult time for me, you know, because I was fighting for my daughter to have her with me, with lawyers and everything. And I had an option to fight. So again, I had something, a lot of emotions. But I think it was at the right time, because I could lose my energy, my bad thoughts, my negative, my sad thoughts in the training. I decided, okay, I want to do this. So for the three, four months preparation, I went to Germany every week. I went there, two and a half hours drive. I stayed in the fighter's apartment. It's like favela in Brazil, you know. It's real ghetto. Really, I go out of my comfort zone. I go in this place. Fighters, those are guys that fight like 10, 15 years, 20 years, you know. I was there like a fresh guy coming from the fitness bodybuilding. So you can imagine how my ass got kicked the first weeks, and my muscles and everything, and soreness and everything. But I kept going. I was like, oh, this, again, fuel. People telling me, what are you doing? You're going to... Of course, my mother, she was against this. She lost like almost 10 kilos this whole time, really, of stress, man. Like, guys, I'm telling you, mothers, they don't like their kids going to fight.
No, I know.
Yeah, bro. Really. It's the truth. So 3-4 months preparation, I'm going to Germany. 3-4 days, coming back, picking up my daughter, talking with the lawyer in this time. A lot of things going on. Doing two things at once. But everything, time passes, my training's going, blue eyes, broken nose, ribs that are bruised, you know, during this time. You have to know, the guys, they're like friends, brothers to me. But in this time, I was a new guy. You know, when you're a new guy coming to the gym, and especially when you're a guy coming from fitness bodybuilding, like, who the fuck is this guy? Let us show him what's fighting about.
You know? A target on your back, man.
Man, yeah. Target on the back, really. I got suplexed, like, the first trainings, I got suplexed. I was like, where the fuck am I? Really, really, it was unbelievable. But I kept going. I kept going back, and I started improving really fast. And this is something that also, till this day, made me a fighter who I am now, is the improving. I'm really fast at learning. So I started getting better. I started sparring with these guys. They also got punched, kicked in the face, you know, got taken down. And 3-4 months later, I had this fight, and I went to Poland. And you know, when you are starting to fight, you have a 0-0 record, you don't know nothing.
No.
You don't know the feelings when you're going to the cage or you're in the cage, what's happening before, the week before. All these emotions, you can only go through this if you are really going to a fight or an event, let's say to compete, you know, especially fighting. You know, this guy trained to kill you, you're trained to kill him. Kill, you know, win. He's trained to win, you are fighting to win. So I will never forget this moment, man. I was in the locker room, and KSW is a big organization.
Yeah.
It's not a small event in Belgium, in Holland, that were 18,000 people in the arena. It was Ergo Arena, called Ergo Arena. And backstage, I hear the bass. Man, my heart was like crazy, really unbelievable. And then the devil is here, and the devil is saying, oh, man, you're going to get knocked out in front of all these people. Millions of people that follow you will see you, fitness guy, bodybuilder, getting knocked out, you know? You think you're going to fight in the MMA cage, you know? But the angel is saying, no, you trained for this. You're getting really good. You're going to knock him out. You have the power. And I always had that right hand, you know? I know I had this right hand because even before I was fighting professionally, when I was going out fighting, man, I knocked out people like in one punch. And big guys, really. I was 16, 17 years old. When there was fights in the clubs, I knocked them all out, really. And I had this in me, and I always believed in this one. It was my backup, you know. And when they called out my name to go to the cage, after that I was reading a little bit, research when I was after this fight. And there's a situation like fight or flight mode, yeah. You know. And this is really true.
It is
really true. Like, I experienced myself, you know. There was a moment they call out my name, and you guys will see the walkout. I can show you guys the link, and you can see the video. It was crazy. The show they're doing, it's like big robots there, and they're opening like the entrance, and I come and I see like 18,000 people in the arena, the lights, everything, the music. And in this moment, I was thinking, fuck this, man. I go back. Really, man. I was just thinking, what the fuck am I doing? I just go turn around and back and say to Ivan, no, brother, this is not for me, man. You know?
Close the curtains back. Tell the robots, close the curtains again, man.
No, man. It was really like that.
Fuck.
Really. And the more I went to the cage, I was getting in the zone. And I was like in a movie. Was this real life or not real life, you know? And I'm stepping in that cage, and it's funny because I have a signature move now. I mean, I had this from the first fight. Before the fight happens, I already planned everything, you know? As a fighter, I think, especially now after so many fights, and what I'm doing is like visualizing everything from the beginning till the end before the fight, how I'm going to walk, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say after the fight, how I'm going to walk in the cage. And I have this signature move from day one. So when I come in the cage and everything, and I did that, and it's funny because now it's really my signature move. When I enter the cage, I walk around there. And I remember I walked around and I was looking around, but I was still focused, you know. When I'm in that cage, the button went on, and he came inside. It was a monster, man. He was like 120 kilos. I was 100 kilos. I was my first four fights were heavyweight. You know, also like not realizing that there are weight classes for a reason. You know, this time I was just thinking, man, I don't care. So I'm there in my corner. I see him, but doesn't matter. I know I'm intimidating him. You know, I'm showing him I'm here to fight. That was, sorry. This is something I always had in myself. You know, whatever is going on outside, if I'm gonna fight you, I'm here to fight. You know, I'm gonna show you. Okay, doesn't matter if I'm gonna lose or not. I'm gonna fight. You know, so to show him who the real alpha is in that cage. That's, I think it's a. Until now, I realized that mentally, it's one of the most important things as a fighter. To show your opponent to, intimidating.
Yeah,
it's really true.
Yeah.
Before the fight, even on weigh-in, on the fight itself, it plays a big role. I realized it after a couple of fights, but I also see it, and it's really like that. It's a big mental game, not only just fighting. So anyway, I was the bell ring, and he's coming at me like a bull, bro. He's coming at me like a bull. You know, he wants to take my head off, like, and I hear him like, and I remember everything going slow motion. Everything was going slow motion, and boom, boom, and I only knew like left, right, low kick. You know, that was that was like my basic combo. And there was one moment that he caught me with the left hook. When you see the fight back, and I fell down,
yeah.
My lights went out for a millisecond. You know, he could finish me that fight, but I went up and I went away from the cage. I circled around and went back to the middle.
Yeah.
And in this moment, I shout out to my corner. I shout like, "What I'm gonna do now? What I'm gonna do? What I have to do?" Really, I will never forget this moment. Really, I was like this. So he got me with the left hook, and I went up, I circled around, went to the middle, and he's coming to me as a bull again. What I'm going to do, what I have to do, you know. First fight, so big, not even amateur fights, you know. So big audience, this guy is coming like a bull. And I did like a combination, and automatically, like, it's something that's inside me, the right hand, the hook. Right hook, like counter hook. That's yeah. That's my biggest weapon. Caught him and he went knockout. Man, it was unbelievable, really. Everybody was like, wow. And the feeling, that feeling, when you have that feeling once, game over.
Yeah.
You always want that feeling back.
It's a drug. You'll get used to it.
It's worse than drugs. I also understand fighters that have like 60, 70 fights that should retire, but they're still thinking a comeback fight. Let's say they're 60 years old, 50 years old, want to come back. Why? Because of this feeling. And I don't think necessarily it's only this feeling. It's also the feeling. One of the feelings, I think, it's the stress factor. The biggest stress factor you have for months preparing, then going there fight week and everything. It's like you have a bag on your shoulders, and the bag is getting fuller and fuller and fuller and
it's
fuller.
It's getting filled up.
Fill up. And after the fight, you throw that bag away. And I think that feeling of losing the stress is also so addicting. Not only the winning part, but like,
but do you think also that's the problem with a lot of fighters? We just talked about him in the car driving to here. Tony Ferguson, for example. He had a great run, a 12-fight win streak, and now he's on his way to a 12-fight losing streak if he doesn't stop. But do you think it plays a part? It's the feeling, it's the mental game. It's
yeah, for sure. I tell you, that's exactly what I just told you now. It's something addicting, you know, when you are in there, not only the winning part, but the whole process going to a fight and the stress before the fight and after the fight. And in one way, it makes you feel alive. Really, it makes you feel alive. The stress factor, the adrenaline and the emotions around the fight, it makes you feel alive, really. Like after a win, you hug your coach, you hug your partner, your wife, your family, you are full of emotions. Before the fight, you are scared. As a fighter, you don't want to get knocked out. You don't want to lose, you know, in front of your people, in front of the crowd. So a lot of mixed emotions in fight sports.
Yeah.
I can even Imagine, man, because how, what can you compare to that feeling, like beating somebody, KOing somebody in an MMA cage? Like a lot of fighters, they try to look for other things that can give them the same feeling,
yeah,
but it's almost impossible.
I think it's also a part of thrill seeking. So the thrill you get from fighting, from losing, even losing, winning, I don't know how to experience this, but I think that's the part that plays.
Let's say, because I competed before in bodybuilding, fitness, it's a totally different. It's a totally different feeling. You can't compare it. It's a one-man job when you're there. You know, you need to fight. It's you or him. And you can't compare the feeling. I tell you, it's a feeling of feeling alive. And I think this feeling, we are always seeking for that feeling. Once you have it, you want to have it back. But it comes with a lot of risks. Because the feeling before the fight, man, it's worse than you can imagine. Like going to fight there before your name is called out is the worst feeling ever. Worst feeling.
I think you had like one of the worst or like the hardest first fights ever, because normally people have their first fight in like a very small amateur scene. Yeah. They're not very known, but you have like a huge audience. Yeah. Everybody wants to see you fight. Okay, Erko is going to do an MMA fight. 18,000 people there for your first fight. I mean, I don't think...
You talked smack also by saying, I can beat those guys. So you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
100%, 100%. I agree. Listen, guys, from the first fight to my last fight, there was always a lot of pressure on my shoulders. Always. Now the people see, this guy's a real fighter, man. You know, in the beginning, I had always to prove myself. Like, I mean, I don't need to prove to anyone, but in one way, as a fighter, as a man, you want to prove it. You know, listen, I am here. To make the story a little bit shorter, so the two guys, the first day I told these guys I'm going to beat them, I eventually beat them because after this fight, 4 months later, I had the opportunity to fight the other guy that was that was in the cage, you know. And his name was Popek Monster. He was a real monster, guys. Real monster because he was tattooed fully his face. He got scars in his face made self. So it was not an accident. He made like scars in his face, opened his face. His eyes were black, tattooed. So his eyes were black. He was looking like the devil, man.
That's the guy you have nightmares.
Really. And plus, he's crazy. He is crazy as fuck. He even had a... there's a story on him. There's an interview on YouTube. You will see it, guys, because I think it's nice to add on this podcast is that this guy, he was in coma for 6 months because of OD. He woke up and he took drugs the day... self when he woke up, you know.
He OD'd and then he took drugs again.
Yeah, and he's like fighting in the cage, with doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He's also a very famous rapper in Poland. Like he's like a character you wouldn't really see often, you know. And he was my second fight. Also, KSW in this time was having crazy freaks as fighters. Why? Because people love to watch that. In Poland, it's crazy hype. That's also why they gave me a chance to fight. I was a big guy, bodybuilding with a lot of social media influence. And eventually, I got to prove myself in that cage. And that second fight, I won the guy. And if you see it now, I wanted, actually, like technical, he wanted to take me down. I came on his back. I spread out his legs and I finished him with ground and pound, you know. So people started seeing, he can also do something, not only like... And it was a step-by-step career, but I always had to prove myself. Always. Always a lot of pressure.
But it's something I think fighters, as a fighter, you have to be a bit crazy. So something we always joke about, but eventually... There is something, maybe wrong is not a good word, but there is something going on with fighters, because why would you otherwise step into the cage? There's something you're looking for, I guess.
There's always, I agree, every fighter has something in their brains. Yeah. There's one chronicle that's not right.
Yeah.
With some fighters more than other fighters, you know, but it's really true.
But because, for example, before we started, we talked about Rainier.
Yeah.
Rainier is a very smart guy. He has his gym, but still, his life is is going well, and still he decides, okay, you know what? I want to step in that cage. I think what you're saying is there's something in the brain that's going on.
Yeah. So I'm also wondering, because you did the first MMA fight, you told the guy, I can beat those guys. But were you like seriously considering when you took the first fight, like, okay, this is going to be like my next career? Or when did you decide, okay, I'm going to take MMA serious now?
I think it was after the first fight. I was the feeling happened, you're addicted. Okay, I want to feel this again. I want to step back in the cage. And I took it more and more serious, you know. More and more serious to the point where I had my fourth fight in KSW. So I won my first three. The third one, I also knocked him out. So my first three fights, I won by finish, TKO, KO. And my fourth fight, they gave me a chance to fight to a guy that was in one way like, let's say, an idol. Not really an idol, but let's say someone I look up to. This was Mariusz Pudzianowski. He was a five times strongest man from Poland. Man, this guy is carrying trucks. He's pulling airplanes, really pulling airplanes, and he was looking fit as, you know, fit as fuck. Yeah, I can curse here, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, you can say everything.
He was looking fit as fuck, and he was also always sharp. He was one of the strongest men in the world, five times, but looking fit. Not like these big guys with big guts, you know. And he was the one that went to MMA as well. He made a big switch in his life, and he was a big star in Poland. And this was a guy, when I was 16 years old, I was looking at him when I was bodybuilding, like, oh, look at this monster, man. Wow, you know. And then I had a chance to fight with this monster in the cage. In one way, it was too early, because I was training only almost 2 years MMA. So I had my three fights and had a chance to fight him. But they told me, you can fight him main event in Croatia, you know, close to my area, my roots.
Your environment.
Man, main event, KSW, you know. Also, my second fight was co-main event. My second was co-main. I got a main event for my first fight against Pudzianowski. And I thought, if I'm not going to grab this chance, maybe I will never have it in my life, you know? So I took the fight. I said to Ivan, okay, I will take it. I will train hard. But in one way, I knew also, realistically, it's a big risk. This guy is a monster. He had like 15 or 20 fights. You know, it's already a big experience. I only have three fights. Main event, but okay, let's do it. And I went over there and I had a fight, and I think it was second round. I lost a fight by ground and pound. He was very strong, but I gave him a lot of problems, and people didn't expect that. That was my first loss. I was also thinking I was unstoppbar.
Invincible. You were feeling invincible.
Yeah, I was thinking I was invincible till this day. You know, I was 3-0. It's not much, but you're thinking, okay, I'm invisible.
But 3-0, three finishes.
Quick, too.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Quick too, coming in MMA, fighting Pudzianowski. And I was really thinking I would knock him out. And there was a moment I could finish him. Really, guys. I was also, all these guys, they were 20 kilos heavier than me. I was 100, but I was faster, more explosive. But no, not really experienced with MMA, with the fights. So if I see the fight now, if I would do the fight now, it would be a totally different fight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 100% sure. But in this time I was there, I almost had the chance to finish him. I also flipped him when he was taking me down. I flipped him. Everybody was surprised. And I lost that fight. But coming backstage, I had a big applause, you know, from all the organization, from the people. And I was like, oh, I did a good thing. You know, was thinking I lost the fight. And then I watched the video and I saw, okay, I gave him a lot of problems. Man, don't forget, they were saying to me, Erko, listen, you're only training MMA for 2 years. You fought a guy that has almost 20 fights. You did a good job. And I realized, okay, I was doing good, but I need to be better. And I told my manager, give me as soon as possible another fight. And also, honestly, it was not necessary. I could say, okay, I lost a fight. I don't need to fight anymore, you know. I come from fitness. I had my sponsors, you know, I could still promote, I give personal training, I have money, I mean, I make money, I don't need to fight, but something in me, I wanted to fight, back again.
Do you think that's also part of you as a human being, if you look back at your youth, you were always fighting? I mean, if you take a dive in your life, from day one, you're fighting. If it's fighting to become a bodybuilder, if it's fighting to become an entrepreneur, if it's fighting to get out of the bad position in your life, do you think that plays a part?
I think that plays a big part. And I think I would not know any other life. I think that's my life, fighting to get better, fighting to do something. And like I said, I always needed a goal in my life. Why? Maybe because of my past, maybe because of what I went through, maybe because who I am now, but it made me the person who I am now. And also, mentally, I'm, let's say, as a fighter, I'm really strong. Of course, I have my thoughts. Of course, we have bad negative thoughts. When we enter the cage, you never know what's going to happen. But when I'm seeing my opponent, they know it. When they see my face, they see my eyes, they know it. I come there to kill them, you know? Really. Mm.
Sammy has a nice thought about that. When we talk, Sammy always says, because something's wrong in my head sometimes. Sammy says, yeah, I see all the problems in your eyes. When you get messed up, I see all the...
I see his youth, everything, man. You got hit too hard, man. When I hear your story, I can tell, man, you have probably from the fitness life, crazy discipline. You like the challenges. But that makes me wonder, because sometimes we ask fighters, like, of course, fighting is not forever.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes think about, okay, how I'm going to challenge myself the day I'm not fighting anymore?
Yeah, of course. I have a plan. I have a plan for the future. So I want to push a couple of years more. I want to make my name bigger. I want to have bigger challenges, fight better guys. Maybe go for a belt in one of the organizations. You know, that's my goal. And eventually, my goal is to do the same what my coaches did with me, you know, help the youth, train the young generation, show them that sport can keep you away from the wrong things. Maybe do some, let's say, some online web store or something, you know. Also, I tried it. Like, yes, last year I tried doing something, but it's really difficult to combine with professional fighting. Really, you can't focus on two things. I tried it. Sometimes you want too much in life. Oh, it's better take a break from that, focus on one thing. And now I want to focus on fighting. I have my sponsors. They can help me with this. Have good results. And after that, focus on a business myself.
That's great, man. What we also always ask to the fighters is, what's the first thing you do when you've had your fight? So you had a heavy camp, you're focused, you have to cut your meals and so on. So what's the first thing Erko does when he's done? Bro, you can't say everything. It's no problem. No,
first, I thank God for everything, you know, what he gave me. And mostly, like, let's say for food-wise, okay, I like to have some sweets. I love sweets, so usually go eat sweets. But mostly, like, my plan always after a fight is go on holiday, you know, like take a break for 1 week, but with my family. That's like the number one on my list. I take my family with me, my wife, my kid, my mother, my brother. I take them with me. I give them a good time together. That's where I enjoy the biggest moments. And then back on track. You know? That's like mostly how it goes, the routine.
That's great, man. That's great.
Right, man. I like to hear that, man. Family, keeping family's family important. Close. Especially people from the Balkan. Like one of my good friends, Mirza Abut, he's from Montenegro. Always keeps the family together, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Listen, in life, I think with the fighting, I realized it more because you come in these situations where you're really emotional, a lot of bad thoughts going on. I mean, you doubt yourself. And then you realize the people that are really important to you, who's really close to you, and those people you give them more love, you know, you appreciate it more because you see, okay, these are the people. Now I'm in a situation where I need someone, and they're there for me. You know.
Yeah. Before we move on to the end, I also have a question about, because you're a successful guy, big following on the socials, a funny guy. You're a model, comedian, fighter. your everything. How did you experience people who want to use you? Like we notice, oh, Erko now makes money. Erko, how did that go? Because I can expect you from the environment you were from.
Yeah,
that those guys came back like, oh, Erko, you remember when I helped you? And how did that go?
Well, of course, I there was a time for that as well. Of course, I see it myself as well. Now people always try to take advantage of you. Doesn't matter what sports or what business you are doing, but as a fighter, I don't know about the other guys, but you live a very lonely life, bro. I don't really have a lot of, let's say, friends. I have a lot of people I'm good with, you know. I'm good with everyone. I never have any bad criticism about anyone, but I'm very on myself and with the fam. You know, I go train twice a day. I come back, I rest. This is my temple, let's say, where I rest my mind and my body. Then I go back training again. And honestly, like the most people I go hang out with are my brothers from the gym. You know, the people I sweat with and do the techniques with, spar with. Now in this life, those people are more important for me than the people where I went out or drink or eat and everything. Why? Because they also improve me with the training. You know, we are here for each other to help. If you don't have good sparring partners or training partners, you will also not evolve. You can have the best gym, man, the best equipment, but if you don't have the right training partners, forget.
I think that's something we see a lot with the fighters. For example, we were at Musashi's house. He has his house and his brother is living on the on the same ground as he is, and his nephew is living on the same ground as he is. So I think you see it a lot that the fighters... And I think it's in general when people get successful, they make a small circle and it's like, okay, there's no place for new people because are they going to take advantage? And
I agree. It's true.
Yeah, I think this is the best way, man. If you have a group of people, you want to get better each day, motivate each other. Yeah. And at the same time, you have like a connection. You know, you fight each other every day. I think that's a pretty intimate thing too. If you fight the same guy every day, he beats you up, you beat him up. You have a connection, man.
It's true. It's
hard to build the same connection with, like, it's a different.
I agree. Really, I think sport, top sport. If you're a professional, it's a lonely life in general. You know, you need to focus on your sport. You're always busy, and then the people you train with are the ones you spend the most time with.
I think it's
because you have to travel a lot to train, right?
The trainings where I'm going, I always need in general minimum half an hour drive, 1 hour drive. That's the sad thing in Belgium. We don't have like one gym where everything is going on. You know, like in Germany, UFD gym. Shout out to UFD gym, very good, because they have like one gym and they have like four or five different trainers for grappling, for wrestling, MMA wrestling, and top coaches. You know, and for sparring, Ivan Hippolyte is coming there. So they're having a good gym and everything under one roof. Where I'm going is to Celtics gym. Roger, he's my striking coach. He's the guy that actually made me a killer, man. Really, he's the one that changed me completely as a fighter. Then we have Bors, the wrestling club. Also the best wrestling, in my opinion, in Belgium. Haji Murat, he also changed me as a fighter. And it's nice to see that... How someone can evolve. You know, it's crazy. You need to will it. You really want to do it. Otherwise, it's not possible. But how you can change as a fighter, as an athlete. And then of course, Combat Brothers now is in the area as well. So I try to combine those three gyms and do my sessions.
I'm wondering, who's the toughest guy you have faced? Like, even in training or with fighting, who would you say is the toughest guy you've faced?
Yeah, I fought Vladimir Miniev. That was so funny, man. You know, like I said, I do a lot of challenges. Yeah. And my striking coach, he told me, oh, we got a question from Russia. They want you to fight kickboxing fight against Vladimir Miniev. And I was like, who's this guy? And I looked him up. Man, this guy was a straight killer from Russia. But my coach was also believing in me. He told me, I think you can do it. You know, he's striking. His striking is like not the typical kickboxing, but he was good. So we took that fight, and I went to Russia, and it was a crazy trip. It was like 24 hours trip there, really. Bro, don't forget, it was the start of the war, Russia against Ukraine. So you couldn't just fly to Russia, no. You know. You need to. I fly went from Turkey to Moscow, then from Moscow to a small city, Alista was it, and then a drive, 4 hour drive. So then I come there, and I never had a kickboxing fight in my life. But I was thinking, oh, fuck it, I tried everything. Why not try this? You know, I tried fighting in the cage. Let's fight in Russia. And it was an experience I will never forget. So I went over there, and I saw the guy, and he was surprised I was there. He was not thinking I would come here. There. So I went over there, made weight, and at the event, it was like in a village, but it was full outside, you know? And I went over there, and the moment I stepped in the ring, the guy came, and when he entered, it was like monster, man. He was a monster, popping with veins and looking at me, and I told my coach, "Coach, what the fuck, man? What, he's 10 kilos heavier, you know? What's going on?" My coach was like, "No, man, he's just a light, you know." After the fight, he was telling me, "Oh, this guy was, you know, the Russians, man. They have good stuff there. You know, I don't know what they're taking." But he was and
horse meat. It's horse meat.
I don't know what it is, but I had 3 rounds with him. It was a solid fight, and from this fight, you know, sometimes you think fights that you lose, you lost, you're a bad fighter, but this fight put a lot of respect on my name. A lot of fighters, like high-level fighters, professional fighters. I'm talking about Gokhan Saki, other kickboxers, Gokhan, you know, from Bellator. They told me, "Man, you really showed what kind of fighter you are. You know, you showed your heart, but also your skills. Your striking has improved." I lost that fight third round, but that was one of my toughest fights. Now, for training, let's say if I go to the ground with Ranir, it's game over.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You should ask Sammy. He knows.
I know how that feels, man. It's not nice.
No, it's man. Nice. It's really unbelievable. I never had someone. I trained with a lot of people. You know, because of this fighting, let's say, this industry, you get to meet a lot of people, you know. And because I had a little bit of name, I met the right people. I trained in USA. I went to Thailand. And I trained with a lot of fighters, different fighters. And then you get to see, where you're at, you know, what level you're at. So Ranir is really one of the, I don't know, he's an alien or something. But when he takes you on the ground, it's game over, really.
Can't move him. When he's on top, bro, it feels like, fucking like a rock, you know, you can't move.
But not only that, like you think, okay, I'm gonna get out of a submission, but after that, he has another solution for you, so that's crazy. And of course, you have Roberto Soldic, striking wise, he's fighting welterweight, but he's hitting like a heavyweight, you know, he's a monster, man. He's a monster, really.
Crazy.
So I'm also excited to see him back in the cage.
Because he's the one that actually like started your MMA career.
True, bro.
Man.
True, and I never forget that. And he also knows that, you know. And he's also the one that put a lot of, let's say, how you say it, a lot of belief in myself. You know, he's the one that you can do this, man. Come on, man, you can do it. And he gave me the motivation, you know, to step in that cage. And after that, he was saying, "Whoa, man, fuck! I was thinking you." I said, "You believed in me." I said, "Yeah, but you're crazy, man. You go fight there." So it's really funny.
Beautiful, man.
That's beautiful. A beautiful story. You have an amazing story. I think the next step is to film your life, to make a movie or a Netflix show about it, because I think there's a lot of potential. before we end, we always have the same question for our guests. What's the kind of advice you would give to the people who are watching, not only fighters, but just people in general? Yeah.
I will just repeat what I said before. In general, like if you're feeling that you're going through a hard time in life, you know, or you're in a bad vibe or anything, look for something where you can lose that negative energy. And in my case, it was sports. And in many cases, it will be sports. It will be sports because it saves so much lives. Let's say so much bad guys that could end up really bad or in jail or something or going through bad things. With sports, it kept it on the right track. So I think that's something people should focus on. Also, parents, give a little bit more time, a little bit more energy. Go bring your kid to a sport, you know, do something. If they like football, go bring them. if they like boxing, kickboxing, go bring them, you know, because this is something where you learn discipline and also keeps you on the right way, you know, because the coaches there will also show you, hey, behave, do like that. So I think in general, sports is a must.
100%. Good to know, man.
Agree 100%.
Echo, thank you for your time. Thank you for having us here. We loved it. You have a great thank story. For the people who want to follow you, I think your people should follow us because you have enough followers. But where can they find you?
Oh, just, they can write my name on Instagram or whatever.
We will put it in the description.
Yeah.
Before we end, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors again. Beast Mode for your supplements. If you want to look like Sammy, if you want to look like Erko, you need a nutritionist. Go check out Beast Mode Nutrition. And for your fight gear, you should go to Nico. We will put the discount codes in our description. Like, subscribe, give the 5 stars on Spotify, and check us out.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for watching. Check out Erko. He's fighting on
April. Yeah, 20 April.
20th of April?
Yes.
He's fighting on 20th of April. Make sure to check him out, follow him, support him. And thank you for taking you and your beautiful house, taking the time to, taking care of us. We appreciate that a lot.
I appreciate it, guys.
And
that was it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you all.